Jesus, I mean, he was God and he could do that kind of stuff, but, you know, we can't do that kind of stuff. And, you know, but here is the apostles, and they're doing the same thing that Jesus did. And, you know, I don't know if you'll ever lay hands on somebody and see them raised up, a cripple raised up or not. That's not the deal, whether you ever do that or not. But the deal is that we learn to live in the moment that God gives us. We in our circles, we talked about learning to manage your relationships, and we talked about your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your family. And a lot of people quit right there. Some will go on with their friends, then they'll quit right there. But we have a huge responsibility as a church. And I think the church as a whole has messed up in that, you know, we don't mind sending money over to Africa and sending missionaries and supporting missionaries over there. But what about the people on our streets, you know, that really need to be touched, and not just poor people, any person that's in need, anybody that's hurting. And, we have just so not walked in the Spirit. And as a Spirit-filled church, and the church that the New Testament talks about is a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. But as a Spirit-filled church, we need to start living up to our name. We really need to be Spirit-filled. And, you know, I see so many opportunities come to Christians, and they say, well, if I did that, then what would they think? If I did that, what would they think of me, or what would they say about me? And we've made it about us. And it's not about us, it's about Him. And God is looking for people that He can use in the moment to touch people. And honestly, if we would honestly pursue this, God would do some great things in our lives. You might be surprised at what He will do. This is the early days of the church. This is not long after the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 3, we're going to read a lot of verses here, so follow me. We're going to just do some commentary. Let me say something. Wednesday nights is Bible study night. And if you've got a topic that you would like for us to teach on, a book of the Bible, a Bible character, a subject, Facebook me, send me a message and let me know. I do not teach on the book of Revelation. I'll tell you that right now. I do not teach on that book. I don't know it that well. I could give you the general gist of it, but Daniel and Revelation, I've just never got into that, so I'm not interested in even trying to teach that. But if you got a Bible character or a subject that you'd like to study or something, send me a message on Facebook and let's see what happens. I love verse by verse Bible study. I like character studies. I like subject studies. I like all of those kind of things. But I want to talk about what you want to hear about. So help me out with that. We spent all summer talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those people who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Now, let's kind of set the story here. They're on their way to church. They're on their way to church. They're on their way to worship. And here's this guy. He's crippled. How long has he been coming there? I don't know. Jesus might have walked by him before. I don't know. You say, well, why didn't Jesus heal him? I don't know. Maybe the time wasn't right. I don't know. But something is fixing to happen. And I want you to see this. And, we have exalted the apostles to a great stature in our thinking that they did great things because they were apostles. They were men just like us, regular people. And they were born again. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were, they had a wonderful experience with God. And they're just minding their own business. They're on their way to church. And here's this guy sitting at the gate. He's crippled. And he's begging alms. They're not thinking about laying hands on him. And that man's not thinking about being healed. He's thinking about begging for alms. And they're thinking about going to church. Okay? This is so neat because God works this way sometimes. You know, I used the analogy last week. You may be standing in line at McDonald's getting your senior coffee, or maybe you don't get senior coffee, with a shot of espresso or whatever it is that you know, your chocolate frappe that's so good. You know, and you may be minding your own business and God wants to do something. Are you available? Are you available? And I think this is the thing that we need to look at. Jesus was available with the woman at the well. Peter and John were available. And they did not really initiate this. The Holy Spirit initiated what's fixing to happen. And if we have the Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit that was in the apostles. It's the same Holy Spirit who has been in every body who's ever ministered for the Lord. Okay? It says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. They was going to pass him right by. Okay? And fixing his eyes on him with Peter and John, said, well, let's see, yeah, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, look at us. Something happened right there. I mean, they were going into the temple, and all of a sudden he begs alms, and something happens. And he says, look at us. This is the moment. This is the moment. Did they have to do this? No. They could have missed the moment. I wonder how many moments that we've missed in our lives. How many people have we encountered who are going to die the next day? And the Holy Spirit trying to get through to us, saying, tell them that I love them. Or somebody going to kill themselves. And the Holy Spirit trying to use you to say, tell this person that I love them. Pick up the, I mean, how many times has this happened to you? That you're thinking about somebody. And it's not 15 minutes till you see that person. Does that ever happen to you? That happens to me all the time. What is that? Does the Holy Spirit know that I'm going to see somebody? Why is it that they come to my mind? Maybe we need to investigate those things a little bit to see what's going on, what the Spirit of God's trying to say to us. I cannot tell you the times that has happened. I remember one time, this is years and years ago, that God dealt with me about going to talk to somebody. And I didn't do it. And it wasn't long after that he was killed in a car wreck. I hope somebody was not disobedient like I was and talked to him. I would hate to think that one of these days the Lord says to me, you remember that so-and-so that I told you to go talk to? He's in hell now. I mean, this is serious stuff. We're living in this temporal life, and eternity is at stake with so many people. And the Lord give us the commission, not the suggestion, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's to all of us. It's not just to the fivefold ministry. So here God is fixing to do something, and they don't even realize the significance that this is going to have, the thing that it's going to stir up, the thing it's going to do, and the people that are going to come to Christ because of this one thing that's happening. God can take one moment in time and do something that is so significant that it can change the course of lots of people. And he can use two people to do it with. So Peter and John, he says, look at us. He has come to some realization that something is up. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I've heard people say, well, he had faith to be healed. No, he was expecting to receive money. This is not about this guy's faith. This is a God moment. This is not about Peter and John's faith. This is not about that crippled man's faith. This is a Holy Spirit working of miracles, gifts of healing moment that's fixing to happen. That those nine manifestations that we talked about this summer. Here's an instance where this goes to work. Okay? So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." I like that. A couple of things here. Number one, God does not ask you to give something that you do not have to give. He does not ask you to do something that He has not equipped you to do. And notice here that this is something that is physical. He says, "I don't have anything physical to give you, but I have something spiritual to impart unto you. But what I do have, I give to you." What are we responsible for? We're responsible for what we do have. What is it that you have? What is it that you have been equipped with? What spiritual gifts do you have in your life? What is your heart's passion? What is it that, you know, what is it that turns your crank? How are you put together by God? That's what you're supposed to give. Whatever that's been put in you is what you're supposed to give. You cannot give what you do not have to give. And God never asks you to give what you don't have to give. He only asks you to give what you've been given. And here he goes on to say this. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He said he had healing power. No, here's what he had to give him. He had the name of Jesus. Remember the great suggestion in Mark 16? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian, to every creature. Did I get that wrong? It's not the great suggestion, is it? It's the great commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What did he say next? In my name. Jesus gave us, the church, his name. To use his name. In my name, you'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What is he fixing to do? He's fixing to give him what he has to give. Now, can you just walk down the street and give it to anybody you want to? No. It was a God moment. It was a Holy Spirit moment. The moment was right. There are many right moments that God has the right person in the right place. And that person could be you. That person could be me. You know, one thing that we need to get away from when we see someone who needs to be ministered to, don't pick up the phone and call a minister to come minister to them. You minister to them. You do it. Well, you know, would you come and pray for so and so? No, you do it. You lay hands on them. You talk to them. Now, if there's something that they need that's beyond what you can do, then get help. But if it's something that you're capable of doing, share your testimony. Share what God has done for you. God wants to use you. The whole mentality of the preacher laity is something that needs to be destroyed. It's never been of God anyway. We're all ministers. We all have the Great Commission. We've all been called by God to administer the Great Commission. And that includes laying hands on people. So I can't do that. I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. You have been commissioned by Jesus to lay hands on people. And it's a sad day when you have to say, "Well, I'll call my preacher and he'll come pray for you." No, you pray for him. You have that authority. God may want to use you. Okay? Enough about that. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What's happened so far? Nothing. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." Now, can you see this scene? He speaks to him, and he reaches down to this crippled man to pull him up. What's happened so far? Nothing. Did it take some faith for him to do that? Yeah. This is a work of God. This is a quickening of the Holy Spirit. And as he does that, see, he's just being obedient to what he senses in his heart. God doesn't call you to work the miracle. God doesn't call you to save the person that you're witnessing to. He doesn't call you to work the miracle. He doesn't call you to do that. He only calls you to do what you can do. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he reaches down and takes him by the hand. Okay? That's something that he could do. He's living in the moment. He's being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. When did they receive strength? And it's after he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reaches down and he takes a hold of him. And immediately, because when he did what he could do, then God did what only he can do. You can only give what you've got to give. And when you give what you can give, then God can take what you can give and he can multiply it and he can do what only he can do. Wow. That's good. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people, say all the people, saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So guess what? You know the nature of people. What began to happen? Was it this? Or was it this? You know, news travels fast. There's only one thing that travels faster than good news. And that's bad news. Okay? But good news travels fast too. Okay? So it began to travel. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Guess what he's fixing to do? He's still living in the moment. God's not through yet. Okay? He did the thing that he could do. Did he know this guy? Probably not. Did he know his name? Probably not. Was this a stranger? Probably. Okay? So he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up by the determined and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Boy, I mean, he starts prophetically preaching to these people. Now, had he rehearsed this sermon? Where'd it come from? It just, bloop, it bubbled up out of the inside of him. Could God use you that way? Sure he could. Guess what you need to be doing so that he can use you that way? He can only draw on what's been put in. If you're not putting anything in, you may not get the moment. Because he has nothing to draw on, because you have nothing to say, because you put nothing in there. But if you'll take the time to put something in there, then there's something that he can draw on so that you can say what he tells you to say. He'll never quicken a scripture to you that's not already been put in your heart. It don't work that way. Okay. Are y'all here? Okay. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, and thus it has been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall utterly be destroyed from among the people. Yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying to Abraham, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away from every one of you your iniquities. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest and certain captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, you know, the Sadducees, they're the sourpuss group. They poop on all of the parades. You know, they're party poopers, okay? Greatly disturbed. They're the negative crowd. You know, there's always the negative crowd, okay? These are the ones that they taught the people and preached in Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, look at this. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Wow. And you know why this happened? Because they lived in the moment. They lived in the moment. They seized the moment when it came. When he looked on that guy and the Spirit of God quickened something to him, he didn't ignore it. He said what God told him to say. You know, that's all you got to do is say what God tells you to do. I heard the story. Now I'm going to end. I got a couple of quotes. But I want to end with this. I heard a story this preacher was telling. He was a pastor. And he had this judge in his church. And he came to him. He says, preacher, I've got a judge friend who's dying of cancer. He's got lung cancer. I want you to go witness to him because he's not saved. So he did. He went and knocked on the guy's door, and the servant answered the door and led him back to this former judge. And this guy was great big tall guy, weighed 200 and something pounds, but when he saw him, the cancer had just eat him up. And he sat down and began to talk to him and ask him if he would like to make Jesus Lord. And he says, you know, I was raised Baptist, but I never did make Jesus Lord. And he said, well, would you like to? And he said, I sure would. So he prayed with him and led him to Christ. After he talked to him for a little while, he got up to leave. And as he turned to leave and walk out the door, the Spirit of God spoke to him and says, tell him he can be healed. And he said, I thought to myself, Lord, you know he don't believe. He's Baptist. You know he don't believe that. He said, I could just hear the Lord saying, oh, I didn't realize he was Baptist. He didn't believe. No, God wanted to do something, didn't he? So he turned back around to him. He says, sir, did you know you can be healed? And he says, you know, I have never heard that before. Tell me more. You know, a sick person that's dying is open to hear most anything. So he sat down and he ministered to him and shared scripture with him. And he told him, he says, I have just completed a 6-week series on faith and healing. He says, what I'd like for you to do, I'd like to bring it to you. And I'd like for you to take one of those sermons a day and listen to it. And then I'll come back next week and we'll talk about it. So he did. And he came back next week and he said, "Sir, what did you think of the series?" He says, "Well, I didn't do what you said. I didn't listen to one of them." Said, "I listened to all six of them one day." He said, "The next day, I listened to all six of them again. And the next day, and the next day, and for 7 days." And says, "Until you got here, I listened to all six of them every day." He says, "I want to tell you something. The next time you come, I'll be sitting up on the side of the bed. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'll be sitting up on the side of the bed. And the next week that when you come, I'll be sitting in a chair by the bed. And the week after that, when you come, I'll be sitting in the living room." And he said the next week when he came, sure enough, he was sitting up in the bed. The next week, sitting by the bed. The next week, he was sitting in the living room. Said the fifth week, he came back, knocked on the door. Said nobody was home. Said the next Sunday morning, the back door opened and here come this man down the aisle. He said he walked up and he took the microphone. And he said, "I just got back from MD Anderson Hospital. And I want you to know I'm cancer free." Just one word that God spoke to him made the difference. What if he had disobeyed God? Well, if God wanted him healed, no. God has given to us the responsibility to preach the gospel. Okay? You say, "Well, I prayed for people before and they died." I have too. But that was a God moment. That was one that God said to him, "Tell him he can be healed." Okay? You say, "Could I do something like that?" You know what? If God speaks to you and tells you to do that, you better do it. "Well, I don't know. I don't know." Well, what does the Word say? Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father." "Well, I don't know if I could do that." Well, could you just obey God and do what He tells you? You can't heal anybody. You can't save anybody. You can't deliver anybody. You can't do any of those things, but you can do the thing that God asks you to do. Amen. You know what? If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. Start where you're at. Do what you can do. Step out when God speaks. He's probably not going to have you to go to the mortuary the first day and yank somebody out of a coffin. He's probably going to speak to you to just pick up the phone and call somebody and say, "You know, you've really been on my heart. I've been praying for you." And you just see what God does. When we obey what He said and we learn to live in the moment. Learn to live in the moment. There's what, 6 billion people in the world and I can't touch them all? But I can touch the ones that God quickens me to touch. There's people that you work with. There's people who comes into your business. There are students in your classroom. Remember the Teddy Stoddard story? Remember that one? I couldn't read it again because I squalled the whole time I read it. Maybe somebody, you nurses that's a patient. I don't know. I don't know your world. Or maybe somebody you go to class with, all you that are going to school. There's somebody out there that God wants to use you to touch. "Well, I'm just not school." God knows that. He'll use you where you are at that moment. He doesn't ask you to give what you don't have to give. He only asks you what you can do. "So I don't have enough knowledge." Has God done something in your life? Then you can share that. See, you start where you are. But see, so many times we allow fear and doubt to keep us from obeying what God really wants us to do. I wish I could just get a list of people. Maybe you can think of somebody that simple people who have done incredible things. And we're not talking about people who have been ordained. We're talking about normal, everyday, regular people who have done extraordinary things for God. And it didn't start big. It just started by feeding that one person. I wonder how Mother Teresa got started. She probably didn't start on top, did she? She started where she was at. And God used her in a tremendous way. And I believe that within every one of us, there are missions that God wants to accomplish in people's lives. Like I say, you may never lay hands on somebody for them to be healed, but you may be the one that brings them to Christ. You may be the one who says the word to them that sets them free from something. You may speak a word into their life that will make the difference with what God is dealing with them about. You may speak a word of confirmation to someone that is the turning point in their life. You never know. But guess what? All you got to do is live in the moment. Be willing to let God use you the way that He wants to. All right. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. I don't know why You love us, and I don't know why You set Your love on us. We've not honored You in so many ways. We've been stubborn and obstinate and unhearing and unwilling. But You never give up on us, and I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, You're just waiting for us to say, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Use me. Speak through me. Help us tonight, Lord, to make a decision that we can be used for You and for Your glory. Teach us, Lord, to live in the moment. As Brother Lawrence practiced the presence of God, may we learn to be aware of Your presence all the time in our lives, that we can do the extraordinary things that You want to do in this earth. We thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.